And it was a year ago this week that the world was shocked as ISIS militants took over one of Iraq's major cities, Mosul. Not long after that, the militants claimed to have established an Islamic State across the region. Countries in the West and the Middle East vowed to defeat ISIS, but today it still controls many areas of Iraq and Syria, including Mosul. That makes it hard to get news from there, with few able to enter or leave the city. NPR's Alice Fordham was able to reach some people who described life under ISIS as a grim routine.
Northern Iraq is dotted with camps full of people who fled Mosul a year ago, never thinking they'd still be here today. In this camp near the city of Erbil, children play around a shipping container. I sit with Abu Hajar, who can't believe it's been so long.
We just think that it's 1 week and we will come back.
Abu Hajar is afraid to use his full name like others in this story. He's heard ISIS blew up his house and took his car because he used to be a policeman. He can't go back. Few displaced people can, and few people are allowed out, so it's not easy to find out what's happening in Mosul, aside from ISIS propaganda that depicts a city willingly living under their rule. But I have tea with one man in a village north of Mosul who left recently. The militants had a problem with him when they took over.
I was employed in one of the security.
He was a security employee, but a low-level one. ISIS granted him amnesty. He was allowed to repent, swear to be a good Muslim, and was supposed to give up his weapon. But he hung on to it because he thought the government would be back soon.
When the government came back, they will ask me, where is your weapon?
But an old colleague informed on him for keeping the gun. ISIS jailed him for a month before letting him go, but life was miserable. In school, his 12-year-old daughter was learning that good girls marry jihadis, and his 13-year-old son was told,
like, you are the future, you are the future of this religion.
And encouraged to become a fighter. Once he sent that son out to buy cigarettes on the sly, the religious police caught the boy and flogged him. Meanwhile, ISIS kept threatening the man, who had an idea to get out, though without his family. He let his beard grow, pretended to be an ISIS fighter, and paid someone on good terms with the militants to help talk his way through a series of checkpoints. He hardly hears from his family. Telephone service in Mosul is intermittent. But one resident climbs a hill late at night to get a signal and speak secretly.
Hello.
I ask about services administration. He says they're roughly what they were under the government before, just barely enough to function. Electricity from the national grid is patchy in homes, but works in markets and main streets. A friend in the water ministry tells him ISIS has figured out how to keep water clean. And yes, city employees still work and get paid by the central government. ISIS takes a cut of their salaries and levies water and garbage collection taxes. They recently bought new high-pressure street cleaners. The police are strict about illegal U-turns. As well as about no smoking, women covering even their faces, and a new rule that men mustn't shave. Occasionally, someone is publicly executed for things they say are crimes, such as homosexuality or doctors refusing to treat wounded fighters. Overall, what do these 1.5 million people in Mosul think of ISIS? He thinks most people don't like the rules and are poorer now the city is isolated, but they're more afraid of a military offensive to retake the city than they are of ISIS. Resistance is limited. ISIS could be there for years. This is consistent with much of what diplomats in northern Iraq say. One did add that health provision is a particular weakness. ISIS actually does let people leave for medical treatment, as long as they hand over a car or deeds of a house as a guarantee they're coming back. Back in the displaced people's camp, as young men kill time with a soccer game, Abu Hajar will next week begin a second Ramadan in this tent. He says there'll be winter and summer, another Ramadan, and they'll die here. And ISIS still won't leave Mosul. Alice Fordham, NPR News, Northern Iraq.